الله الرحمن الرحيم. نحمده ونصلي ونسلم على رسوله النبي الكريم. أما بعد, our most honorable and respected ulama ikram, we say ahlan wa sahlan to everyone who has presented themselves here today. Jazakumullahu khair wa ahsan al jaza. We will commence the program with a qiraat by Maulana Sharif, who is one of the imams of this masjid, and thereafter inshallah we'll continue the program.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها الذين آمنوا لا تكونوا كالذين آذوا موسى فبرأه الله مما قالوا وكان عند الله وجيها. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما. إنا أرضنا الأمانة على السماوات والأرض والجبال فأبين أن يحملنها وأشفقن منها وحملها الإنسان إنه كان ظلوما جهولا. ليعذب الله المنافقين والمنافقات والمشركين والمشركات ويتوب الله على المؤمنين والمؤمنات وكان الله غفورا رحيما. صدق الله العظيم.
جزاكم الله خير مولانا صاحب for the beautiful recitation. الحمد لله علماء اكرام, as the message that we had received had gone out to say that this particular program is held in acknowledgement of the ulama ikram who are generally part of the Jummah roster program of Darul Ihsan, and also generally deliver Jummah programs at venues in our area, in our city. And as we know that this program is something which is a very important program as far as ulama are concerned, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed us with the favor and the ni'mat of the mimbar, and also the responsibility of educating the community and educating the people at large. So the venues generally that are serviced or that are attended to by the ulama ikram who are on the Darul Ihsan roster are generally venues which are not, or we can call them the less serviced venues, outlying areas, areas where generally we find that it is not easy to appoint a speaker. And alhamdulillah, through the program, many venues have been able to be serviced, and ulama ikram have been going out. The untiring efforts are acknowledged. And this is something, alhamdulillah, is a great favor of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and the reward in ajriya illa ala Allah is with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But the benefit we see from it is immense, because people in these areas generally do not have exposure to ulama, or ulama who are able to travel to them, etc. So alhamdulillah, this is something which has evolved, and there are presently approximately 27 to 30 venues that are under this particular program. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to accept everyone's efforts and make it grow inshallah ta'ala. To move forward, we have one of our guests and our ulama, and also part of our program, is Qari Naeem Saab, who is an imam and a khatib and a mudarris in the Durban area. And Qari Naeem Saab is well known through his recitals and through his ash'ar and his nazams, which are very beautiful and eloquent, mashallah. And as we know, Qari Saab, although he cannot see with his physical eyes, but definitely he's able to spiritually nourish us with his recitals and with his ash'ar. We call on Qari Saab to come forward, inshallah, and give us a few ash'ar and words of encouragement. Jazakallah.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. This is actually a hamd, the praises of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. So with utmost respect and adab ulama ikram, we request you to please join us whenever the name of Allah is mentioned in the dhikr and in the chorus. Hey hamd teri har ek lab par, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Hey hamd teri har ek lab par, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Hai zaat teri sabse munawwar, sabse aala, sabse bulantar. Hai zaat teri sabse munawwar, sabse aala, sabse bulantar. Sabka hai maula, sabka hai maula, sabse hai bartar. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Hai hamd teri har ek hai lab par, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Ey arsh wale, ey farsh wale, ey arsh wale, ey farsh wale, sabse rutba tera Allah. Ey arsh wale, ey farsh wale, sabse aula tera rutba. Tujh se alam mein noor hai, tujh se ujala hai poore alam. Tujh se alam mein noor hai, tujh se ujala poore alam. Hey hamd teri har ek lab par, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Jisko diya hai deta tu hai, jisse liya hai leta
تو ہے جس کو دیا ہے دیتا تو ہے جس سے لیا ہے لیتا تو ہے قفز میں تیرے قفز میں تیرے اخذ و عطا ہے اللہ اکبر اللہ اکبر ہے حمد تیری ہر ایک لب پر اللہ اکبر اللہ اکبر تو نے ہم کو تو نے ہم کو منور کیا ہے تیری ایمانی جلووں سے تو نے ہم کو منور کیا ہے تیرے ایمانی جلووں سے تیرا ہی چرچا تیرا ہی چرچا چاروں سوئی ہر شے میں تیری ہی رنگ بو ہے تیرا ہی چرچا ہر چار سوئی ہر شے میں تیری ہی رنگ بو ہے ہے حمد تیرے لب پر بھی ہے اللہ اکبر اللہ اکبر اللہ اکبر اللہ اکبر ہے ذات واحد معبود تو ہے ہے ذات واحد معبود تو ہے مقصود تو ہے مشہود تو ہے ہے ذات واحد معبود تو ہے مقصود تو ہے مشہود تو ہے مقصود نعیم ہے تجھ کو تو ہی تو ہی تو ہی اللہ اکبر مقصود نعیم کو تو ہی تو ہی تو ہی تو ہی اللہ اکبر ہے حمد تیری ہر ایک لب پر اللہ اکبر اللہ اکبر
MashaAllah ta'ala, jazakum Allah khair, Qari sahab, for that beautiful rendition. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, make us from among those who are the hamidun and increase our praises for him, inshaAllah ta'ala. Ulama ikram, generally when we introduce a person, a personality of caliber, then easy way for a person to say, to actually introduce that person will be to say that the speaker is so well known that he does not need an introduction. And indeed, alhamdulillah, with our guest and esteemed guest today, our speaker, Hazrat Mawlana Ilyas Sahab, that is true. But of course, it will be an injustice also for us not to appreciate our elders, our seniors, and the luminaries that in this time and era that we have, who show us, who give us guidance, who show us the way of our aslaf and our akabir. For us to appreciate them is extremely important. And I think perhaps in the times that we live in sometimes these finer aspects get overlooked. And it is difficult for me, as Mawlana is my ustad also, to introduce Hazrat. But I think there are certain outstanding qualities that exist in certain personalities that are worth taking note of and for us to emulate and for us to keep as reminders in front of us. As my ustad, I think one of the things that really stood out for me as far as Hazrat is concerned is his shafqat. And this is really something that the world is in dire need for today, the aspect of compassion. A person can have a lot of knowledge, he can have ability, he can have expertise, and he can have a whole array of abilities, and he can have a lot of capacity. But if he doesn't have the aspect of shafqat and compassion, then unfortunately you will find that people will not gravitate to that person easily. And this is something that shines through Hazrat Mawlana's character in every aspect of his life, whether it is in the dars, in the classroom, or whether it is you meet Hazrat anywhere else, you find that this is one of the outstanding qualities, and his ability to overlook his juniors, to his ability to even come to the level of respecting those who are junior to him. Another outstanding quality in Hazrat Mawlana Sahib, and I'm saying these things for our own benefit and appreciation, so that we are able to appreciate those who are our muhsineen, who are our benefactors. One of the other important qualities we find in Hazrat Mawlana Sahib is his humility. Sighrihi fi nafsihi, that in everything he does we find a real, we can call it a humility that is palpable, something that a person can actually feel. And in fact, through these two qualities, even up till today, I think most of us who are students here today of Hazrat Mawlana Sahib, and many will be able to attest to this, that his humility and his shafqat is such that it is actually palpable in our life even up till today. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala keep Mawlana's shade and the shade of our seniors on above us all the time, so that we may be able to appreciate them, we will to continue learning from them, and they may continue guiding us, and we may become a means of earning their du'as and earning their blessings, and in that way inshallah become a means of progress for us. Alhamdulillah, this program, as we know, is for the benefit of the Jummah program, for us to be able to empower ourselves, for us to be able to give ourselves, sharpen our skills, sharpen our abilities, and to learn new techniques and ideas, because we are living in that time where things are evolving all the time, and for ulama to continuously upgrade, if we can call it, or for ulama to continuously integrate aspects into our work and into our activities and the way that we convey ourselves to people. This is something which is very relevant to all of us. So inshallah, Hazrat will share with us his advices, his precious advices. And in that way, inshallah ta'ala, we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to accept this sitting and make it a means of our hidayat and our guidance.
Come closer. الحمد لله وكفى والصلاة والسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم وذكر فإن الذكرى تنفع المؤمنين وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم لتأمرن بالمعروف ولتنهون عن المنكر أو ليوشكن الله أن يبعث عليكم عقابا من عنده ثم لتدعنه فلا يستجاب لكم أو كما قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم. Most respected ulama ikram, this is no bayan and no advice, it's just a muzakara. The message that came around was that this is going to be an interactive session, so whoever will conduct that part of it, inshallah, the advices will come at that stage from the ulama ikram that are present. This is just some little muzakara which I am most in need of myself, first and foremost. But just on the hukam, these are things being said without even any sequence as such. As certain points come to mind, inshallah, there are certain things that I in mind, Allah Ta'ala make it a means of benefit for me and for all of us. As Mawlana
Amir Sahib explained a little earlier that this is a very great ni'mat of Allah Ta'ala, that the mimbar, the mihrab is still in the control, we may call it, of the ulama kiram generally. And through this, we have access to that number of people where generally we never be able to access them. But this is where the very great responsibility comes, that the vast majority, perhaps in many masajids, or maybe if not the vast majority, but you can safely say the majority, perhaps the only nasihat they hear for the week is that nasihat that is given on a Jummah before the khutbah. And then again, it just depends how many are really listening, how many are inside the masjid. But many would not have heard anything for the whole week, not have been part of any talim in the masjid, for example, or any other nasihat on a one-on-one somewhere, nothing. So the only time they would hear something, if they were there in the masjid, and many are there, alhamdulillah. And whereas this dini nasihat is such an important aspect, this serves like the rain that comes down onto the ground. If that rain doesn't come onto the ground, and weeks pass, months pass, after a while it becomes completely dry, and then the vegetation stops coming, the fruit stops coming from the trees, and after a while the production of that land completely terminates. If there's anything that comes out of it, is only some weeds, some thorny plants, and some things that bear some very thorny fruit also, that's all. Like you see in deserts, etc. So likewise, when this heart doesn't receive this rain of nasihat, then over time, this heart dries up and hardens out. And then there's nothing productive that comes out in terms of deen. Such a heart doesn't get inclined to any tilawat, any zikr, any efforts of deen. Such a heart becomes distanced from Allah Ta'ala. But then those thorny plants, those weeds, that comes out. So as a result, this heart, which is now dried out because it was receiving no deeni nasihat and no amal, so then only those weeds of sins, of vice, and all the inclination towards the wrongs, that's what starts off. And then that just keeps progressing. So now that majma that is there, that group of people that are sitting in front, many of them, this will be the only rain that probably will rain down on their hearts for that week. And some come late, they hardly come. So whatever opportunity there is there, this is an extremely important opportunity to pass on some dini nasihat. This was, and this, we call it a lecture, was in a more broad sense, that was doesn't necessarily have to be from a mimbar, it doesn't require a stage, it doesn't require any kind of formal gathering. All this is also was, but the was on a one-on-one, in a broad sense, da'wat, is all part of was. This is such an important and essential need. Hazrat Mashaf Ali Thanvi Rahmatullah Alayhi, he has described it as Anbiya Alayhi Musalam ka asal kaam yahi tha. He says their actual work was this. He says, dars wa tadrees sab iski tamheed hai. That this teaching, etc., is all the prelude to this. The actual function of the Anbiya Alayhi Musalatu Wasalam was passing on this nasihat to one and all. And the higher knowledge that is passed on to students of deen who have that talab, who come to study, this is all a prelude to get back to that same maqsad. So this is how essential this is and how important it is. So this is obviously a very great opportunity that Allah Ta'ala has blessed us with. Though we would, and we are not worthy of this great position, but without regarding ourselves as worthy, we will have to fulfill it. So in this regard, there are many, many things that we would have learned from our Asatiza-i-Kiram, from the Ulama-i-Kiram, from the Mashayikh over time. These are just some points that are as a muzakara, just as a repetition of the things that we have already heard many times. And as mentioned, this muzakara is for myself first and foremost. Again, without any sequence, just some points that are in mind. One aspect in terms of the Jummah Bayan is that, as mentioned, we have a very diverse crowd in front of us. People of all walks of life are there. People who have heard nothing in terms of deen for the whole week. Many people who are actually very far away from deen. They've come, they are there. So this opportunity cannot be lost. So it cannot be just taken as something by the way, something just to fill in the check box when it was done. It has to be done in a way that tries to achieve the maximum. Not for us, for deen. Because this is an opportunity to connect the people to Allah Ta'ala. So therefore, this requires obviously that a person has to be prepared in an adequate manner to be able to fulfill what is the purpose of this talk. It cannot be just something, by the way, something haphazard. Otherwise, this very important opportunity will be lost. So it's not a matter of myself or yourself. It's a matter of passing the message of deen to those people that are present, and as mentioned repeatedly, who might not hear anything again for the whole week. So this preparation is extremely important. And the preparation doesn't have to be anything fancy. The preparation simply is that a person, number one, has in mind a clear idea of what he wants to get across. The five branches of deen, the imaniyat, ibadat, the mu'amalat, mu'asharat and akhlaq. These are the five branches of deen. Primarily, the talk must be centered around correcting or enhancing one of these things. This is the primary, this is the foundations, this is where everything is in this. It's either imaniyat, or it's ibadat, mu'amalat, mu'asharat and akhlaq. Everything is encompassed in this. So any talk must have a direction. There must be some objective that is in front of the person, what he wants to get across. And what he wants to get across must be primarily in this. It's sometimes the month of Ramadan, for example. So obviously he's going to be discussing the aspects of Ramadan, the fasting. Many people are generally discharging their zakat in that time. So zakat or the aspect of ibadat in general or taqwa, all these things come within it. So sometimes it's going to be a situation about discussing some aspects of muamalat. That's part of it. People's business transactions, how they're going about it, what the concern of halal and haram is. It's all falling part of those muamalat. The innumerable, unfortunately, almost innumerable social problems. So all this falls under the aspect of muasharat. And due to the lack of akhlaq, that all these things come in. And then akhlaq itself is such a broad topic. So it doesn't have to be something very high, flying. And sometimes we try to consider that group of people that are probably very intellectual. They form a very, very small percentage of that whole gathering. It might be 5%. Now we're talking sometimes the 5%, we lost the 95%. We talk to the 95%, then the 5% inshallah also will take their benefit from it. So the one aspect is this preparation. And the preparation must be in this direction. Talking about sometimes some very high-level things which are beyond the level of that group that are being addressed, the people that are being addressed, this doesn't serve the purpose. The advice of Hazrat Abdullah bin Mas'ud radiallahu ta'ala an, Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu, various other sahaba in this regard, speak to people according to their level. Speak to people what they can understand. أَتُحِبُّونَ يُكَذَّبَ اللَّهُ وَرَسُولُهُ. You're going to speak to them so high things, just now they'll start getting into doubts. Because they didn't understand the concepts, it's so deep. The Jummah platform, that is for the dars. That is for something, for a different place and time. So the Jummah platform has to be used to the maximum to get a message across to that very diverse group that is sitting there. So the one aspect is the preparation. So the preparation simply is that there is a direction, there's a clear direction of what the person wants to get across, the ayat of the Quran Sharif that relate to it, the hadith, and to explain that in the light of the explanations of the akabir, etc. That's what it is all about. And obviously keeping in front whatever the halat hazira are, the current affairs, so that people can be guided in the light of the Quran and Sunnah with regards to these issues. So it is going to be still islah-e-ibadat and islah-e-mu'amalat and islah-e-mu'asharat, etc. But the current issues need to be addressed, which people get caught up in, or people become affected by. Those things need to obviously be addressed. The other very important thing in this regard is the aspect of time. On the one hand, especially Durban, most masajid in Natal, we have the luxury of probably about 25 minutes in most masjids, plenty of masjids, half an hour. Many places in other parts of the country, 20 minutes is perhaps the maximum, many places only 15 minutes. We already have the luxury of 25 minutes and half an hour in many places. But unfortunately, despite that, we often overstep the mark. I remember very clearly, in the very initial days when Hazrat Yusuf Sahab Rahmatullah Alayh, Marhum Brother, Allah Ta'ala Fali's Qabr with Noor, when now we are barely just trying to walk, so now as an encouragement, he would even insist, no, you're going to give the bayan. Trying to get out of it, he wouldn't take no for an answer. But then one of the things he would emphasize, and emphasize repeatedly, make sure you finish on time. So obviously starting on time, that's important as well. So if there's a distance to travel, to leave in good time, so the person is there in advance. But then Hazrat Maulana Rahmatullah Alayh used to be very, very conscious and particular about the aspect of time. And there's one very famous statement of his, which he used to repeat many times, many ulama ikrama probably heard it from him too, that you say, if you're going to overstep the time, then no matter what gems you gave thereafter, the only thing the people will remember is that you went past the time. And that's all they'll speak about. Maulana overstepped the mark. He went over the time. So all the other things you said, everything will get forgotten. The only thing that they will remember is that you took extra time. So the time is extremely important. Sometimes a person has a mashallah excellent mazmoon to convey, but if the time is over, then wrap it up and leave it for another time. Because people are very edgy at that time, and sometimes it becomes a problem for many there. People sometimes have lost their jobs because they went back late. And what happens often is that if that time was, we went beyond the time, so many to cover up the loss of time in their minds, well, they lost time now. So how they cover up for it? That they leave the sunnats out and they just disappear from the masjid after the salam is over. So we became the reason for them missing their sunnats, which is obviously a major problem. And that's a major burden on our shoulders. So therefore, that's very important that the time be maintained. Then together with that, the approach has to be approach of inviting people, not attacking people. Anybody gets invited, he feels he's welcome. Because he's been invited, so he feels welcome. And somebody's attacked, he feels he must run from here. So people's hearts are not yet there to accept so many things, and some attack makes them just go further away. Though what is being said is 100% correct, but the approach has to be just changed, that instead of the attack approach, it is the inviting approach. Yes, sometimes some things will be said in a little bit of a maybe more clear way, more direct manner now and then, but generalized. Never in a way that becomes specific to any individual or anything of that sort. But if it's necessary to say some things in a more general, more specific manner, more clear manner, more straightforward sometimes, because some things are of a very, very important and crucial nature, and sometimes some things, if it's not said clearly, many people just don't get the message. Sometimes you say, go around the bush. So some people just don't understand it. And they just stay out of the whole message. So sometimes it becomes necessary. But that too has to be just limited and generalized. Then these are some things that were discussed regarding, and many things inshallah will come up from the ulama ikram when the discussion is opened out to everyone. There are many other things pertaining to the zahiri preparation. The preparation one is this, is the zahir part of it. The aspect of the topic and the aspect of the preparation in terms of the content and how it's presented, etc., etc. All this is part of the zahiri preparation. But the preparation is not confined to the zahiri preparation. The talk of deen is not just something that is like any other, some lecture delivered in some university, or it's some business seminar a person is giving some talk somewhere. This is a very different thing. This is something which, more than speaking, the tongue speaking to the ears of the people, it's to try and make the heart speak to the hearts of people. That requires a very different preparation. This is what we learn from our akabir, from the Ahlullah, Mashayikh, that the preparation that they encouraged, that they made themselves, was on a very different note. Hazrat Abu Darda radiallahu ta'ala an, it was an occasion just prior to a battle. So he gathered the Sahaba Ikram that were in that battle, and he addressed them, and he said to them, أَيُّهَا النَّاسِ عَمَلٌ صَالِحٌ قَبْلَ الْغَزْوِ إِنَّمَا تُقَاتِلُونَ بِأَعْمَالِكُمْ. That he addressed them and he said, أَيُّهَا النَّاسِ عَمَلٌ صَالِحٌ قَبْلَ الْغَزْوِ. That engage in amal before that battle is to come tomorrow. Why? إِنَّمَا تُقَاتِلُونَ بِأَعْمَالِكُمْ. You do not fight on the basis of your weaponry, on the basis of your numbers, on the basis of your physical strength. All this is part of the means, asbab, so you'll adopt it. So you not abandon these things. These things are to be adopted. And therefore the discussion first centered around the zahiri preparation also. This part of the asbab. But the reality of that strength is not in the external self. إِنَّمَا تُقَاتِلُونَ بِأَعْمَالِكُمْ. This is a very different fight. You will fight on the basis of your amal, meaning your winning and losing is based on this. The numbers might be very big, but وَيَوْمَ حُنَيْنٍ إِذْ أَعْجَبَتْكُمْ كَثْرَتُكُمْ فَلَمْ تُغْنِ عَنْكُمْ شَيْئًا. That the strength in numbers was tremendous, but ujb came in, and that too in one or two people, one statement of ujb came out. لَنْ نُغْلَمَ يَوْمَ إِذٍ مِّنْ قِلَّةٍ. That one statement which had some little maybe leaning towards ujb. Not necessarily it was ujb. But on their level, that too, that little slight probably inclination towards it became a major test. So now the numbers were there, but there was some slight little deficiency in something which Allah Ta'ala wasn't happy with. So everything was lost for a while. Until then the tables turned. So this is what he was explaining and giving. إِنَّمَا تُقَاتِلُونَ بِأَعْمَالِكُمْ. That your strength lies in your amal. You will use the external asbab, but the success is not in that. The success is in the internal preparation and what has been brought within oneself. So now this is where the same message comes from. And we look in the lives of the Akabir and the Ahlullah throughout the eras, every era and every age, that this was their very special aspect, that they were filled with that internal preparation. And this is what turned the hearts, turned the tides. It turned many things. So in terms of this internal preparation, there are many, many things, and all this is just part of the muzakara, as mentioned earlier. This is just a muzakara, and I'm most in need of this. So just again, the same things that we've heard repeatedly, just touching on those things as a revision. Obviously, the niyat is part of that preparation. Refreshing that niyat. One is, it's there, alhamdulillah, every person, mashallah, the ikhlas is there. But this repetition and the refreshing of that niyat, the refreshing of that niyat, one part of that refreshing of the niyat, obviously, whatever is done solely for Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. So obviously that, mashallah, every person will make that niyat. Then, together with that, the niyat for ourselves, that what I am going to be saying, I am most in need of it. And I am in need of it first and foremost. And the person being addressed is myself first. Yes, there's a responsibility to pass on the message of deen. So inshallah, with the help of Allah Ta'ala, we'll try to do that as well. But first and foremost and primarily, I'm addressing myself. That's a very important part of that niyat. Hazrat Mashawari Thanvi Rahmatullah Alayhi, he used to say that whenever I find some deficiency in myself, now we're talking about what kind of personality and what deficiency he might be talking about, but nevertheless, when I find some deficiency in something in myself, so he says, I give a bayan about it. Now, he's explaining this, he's saying, I find a deficiency in myself, I give a bayan. That already shows that these people, they give bayans for themselves, and also passed it side by side to others. So he sees with the barakat of that, by now saying it to others also, Allah Ta'ala grants the tawfiq of doing it yourself. So now that part of the niyat, very important part of the niyat, that this is what I need, I'm doing it for myself. Then together with this niyat, obviously, and just on this niyat of, this aspect of niyat and ikhlas, when this niyat is there, that it's for Allah Ta'ala alone, then it won't matter that what the numbers are in front of us. Whether it's one person, or whether it is 1,000 people, that won't make any difference. If you look in the lives of the Akabir, this is the lesson they gave us. These are only just words. Allah Ta'ala give us the reality. But this is what was the reality in their lives. Hazrat Shah Ismail Shaheed Rahmatullah Alayh, that famous incident about his, where he gave that very, very eloquent bayan and lengthy, couple, 2-3 hours. And then after the talk was over, and as people were leaving, one person now is coming, huffing and puffing. He got late, got delayed somewhere, coming from far off. And when he came to know that people are already leaving, and he let out the sigh out of that disappointment. So Chasab heard this and he got to know about it. He called for him, said nothing to feel disappointed about. He made the one person sit there and he gave that full bayan in the same manner again. For the one person. Because he said that too was being done for the one Allah, this too is for the same one Allah. So that niyad. So if that is being done for Allah Ta'ala, then it won't matter whether it's being, there's a crowd of 1,000 people or one person, whether it is in some remote area where there's just very few people there or whatever it is, sometimes it might be in that very small gathering that where the production comes out from. Some person there takes it to heart in such a manner that he then becomes, he turns his life, he becomes a means of turning his family, and then from there Allah knows best what goes on. Sometimes in a whole big gathering, maybe it didn't have that effect like it had with one person. So the production is not based on numbers. The production is where Allah Ta'ala puts it, and that in terms of the means, to the extent of that ikhlas, to the extent of that tawajjuh ilallah. So any case, that requires refreshing. It requires reminding ourselves. Once in Karachi, there was one elderly person from Kashmir, he passed away now. So he was the first murid of Shah Hakim Akhtar Sahib Rahmatullah Alayh. He used to work in that matab. Hazrat was initially, used to do some hikmat as well. He was a hakim, obviously. So he had a small little, like a surgery. So this person used to, he was his assistant. And when the letter of Hazrat Shah Abraul Haq Sahib Rahmatullah Alayh came, giving him ijazat, so Hazrat got a shock and he told him, read this. So he read it. So as soon as he read it, he said, I'm your first murid. So any case, he mentioned it, I heard from him directly. So he says, for a long time in the Khanqa, there used to be sometimes 2, sometimes 3, sometimes 4, maximum 5 people on a general majlis. And this carried on for years. But that majlis didn't stop for anything. between 2 and 5 people. There was some special program, some whatever. Then there might be a bigger gathering. Otherwise, 2 to 5 people, this carried on for years. Until the time came when there used to be 3 majlises a day. And the masjid used to be overflowing each time. And people from so many parts of the world. But the initial part, for years it carried on like this. And it didn't stop for anybody. Because that was not how many people are in front. It was the word of Allah Ta'ala has to be conveyed. And he says once they were, after Fajr, went to some, like a river bank or something. Another just began speaking. So there were about few of them there. After Fajr, they used to even come to South Africa, sometimes go to some place where you make zikr in the morning in some park or whatever. So they reached there and started giving some nasihat. And then it became Ishraq time, they performed the Ishraq Salah, he started continuing the nasihat. There were 5 people there. He says then suddenly it started becoming hot, so they put some sticks in that sand, and some had some scarves, put that scarf, half a dozen people, less than half a dozen people maybe. He says carried on almost till Zuhr time. So once off thing, but he says carried on almost till Zuhr time. This was something overcame him at that time. But that didn't matter that now 5 people, 6 people, what I'm giving this long bayan for them. So the one aspect is that this ikhlas, this is what we see in the lives of our kabir, and that is what brought that barakat. Then together with that, obviously to the extent that there is, this is also the nasihat of Hazrat Rahmatullah Alayh, you say those who are involved in giving talks, in teaching, in islahe khalq, it's extremely important that there must be some time for khalwat, for their own ibadat, for their tawajjuh ila Allah. And I used to quote the example of Maulana Rum Rahmatullah Alayh, and he used to expand on it, that if a person is drawing water out of a well, so now drawing water out of the well, so when a person is drawing that water, after a while he pauses, because the water comes from beneath again. Now he continues drawing water, after a while that level keeps dropping. And if he doesn't pause, that level drops to the point where now it starts hitting sand, that mud. So this says that he has to pause, meaning he has to have his time for khalwat, and for the time for his ma'mulat, for his zikr, for his tasbihat, for his tilawat. Otherwise, he's only passing the water on, but he's not allowing time for the water to fill in. After a while, he'll start distributing that muddy water. And then sooner or later, he'll start hitting the mud itself. So now when there's no time for that khalwat, no time for one's own ma'mulat, etc., then instead of passing on the water of ilm, the water of the muhabbat of Allah Ta'ala, Allah forbid, the muddy water and then the mud of nafsaniyat might start. And instead of conveying things that will become a means of drawing people closer to deen, it might become an opportunity to start maybe scoring points. It might become an opportunity to do other things and actually start extracting some other benefits, ulterior motives. So all these become issues then when there isn't time for one's personal self. The Shaykh al-Hadith Ma'a Zakariya Sahib Rahmatullah Alayhi, he once wrote to one Khalifa of his, who had been, perhaps at that time, it was probably recent, that he had been appointed as a principal of one madrasa. So he wrote to him that you are a principal of the madrasa. If you want your madrasa to prosper, then you must give at least 2 to 2.5 hours of your time in the remembrance of Allah Ta'ala. 2.5 hours obviously will include your tilawat and your tasbihat and dua and tahajjud and nawafil, etc. Now, this was the letter he wrote to the person associated to him, who was now appointed, that you want your madrasa to prosper. Obviously, the prosperity of it is not just the zahir. The prosperity of it is what will be the production for deen. Otherwise, the external structures, etc. So the most prosperous places started off without these external structures also. Started off under trees. But the prosperity, it was more prosperous than the best places with the best structures. The real prosperity is in that aspect. So you want your place to prosper, then you must dedicate 2 to 2.5 hours in zikr. Zikr is now in a broad aspect, obviously. Tilawat is also part of the zikr. All the ma'mulat, etc., nawafil. Now this was that very important thing in the lives of these personalities. Hazrat Mufti Ahmad Khanpuri Sahab, Daud Barakatuhum, here in South Africa once cannot recall where he gave the bayan, but he mentioned two incidents that Hazrat Ali Mia Sahab Rahmatullah Alayhi has written somewhere or he mentioned in some bayan. One incident he mentioned about one sheikh in his majlis, normally there would be pin drop silence. And one day, people are just talking and whispering to each other and it's like very unusual situation. So the khadim, he is looking at the scene and he is totally amazed, what's going on today? So now when he looked at the sheikh read his mind, so to say, from the expression, he saw what this person is all amazed about. So he pointed to his knee. Now this became an even bigger riddle. The people are behaving unusually today. And what link has this got to do with the knee? So then he explained to him, actually you see, my knee, I was suffering with a lot of pain last night. I was in quite a bit of pain, due to which I did not manage to complete my mamulat for the night. What you're seeing is the effect of that. So Ali Mia Sahab Rahmatullah Alayhi, after quoting this, he then comments, he says, if this is the effect of one alim, that by missing out his mamulat, this was the effect on his gathering, if the entire group of ulama missed their mamulat, it would be the effect on the ummah. So, this was one incident Hazrat Mufti Ahmad Khanpuri Sahab quoted. And then the other incident he quoted was also what Hazrat Ali Mia Sahab Rahmatullah Alayhi had mentioned somewhere, that there was one alim in Damascus. He used to conduct some Dars-e-Quran after Fajr Salah. And there used to be such a big crowd of people, small masjid, such a big crowd of people, that many would be sitting outside and such a distance away, they couldn't even hear him. Now he is probably, this is the time when there was no PA system, etc. So now they're sitting away, they can't even hear him, but they would come. And they would even feel such an ajeeb effect on their hearts. Some would be crying, various things. So one day the student asked Sheikh that, this is something very ajeeb, that what you are discussing, what you are saying, there's nothing unique about it. You're not saying something that anybody else hasn't said, something that's not available anywhere, anything out of the ordinary. You are saying what others are saying. Others are also conducting Dars-e-Quran. What's the effect here? People can't even hear what you're saying. So just to, as a lesson to him, otherwise normally they wouldn't even express these things, but this was now somebody who was out of talab asking the question, and to serve as a lesson to him, he said, well, you are just seeing this very ordinary discussion only, that I'm not saying anything extraordinary, and that is it. What else is there to say? But he says that the 10 paras tilawat I make at night before this is the effect of that. So this is the effect of that tilawat. It's not the effect of my words. So this was the very, very important part of that which turned the hearts of people. What happened behind the scenes, as we call it. That's an extremely important part of this preparation. Many of our akabir, many of the recent time akabir, it was mentioned about them that if it has been decided that now they have to give a bayan somewhere, then they would go aside, make some jahri zikr first. Sometime during that, before that time that they have to now go and deliver the bayan. Because everything depends on what's inside the heart. Azdil khayzad, bardil rezad. From the heart to the heart. So now, what are the jazbat, what's going on in our hearts will impact on the hearts of others also. And therefore, these people made so much of effort on the heart itself. So that very simple words that we also said, but it had such a tremendous effect that it changed people's lives. There was one person, Hazrat Maulana Sahib Rahmatullah Alayhi, once just in passing mentioned it. He says this person, years ago story this is, that person had come to Masjid Noor, Mallinson Road. At that time it was in the recent years. It had just started off maybe 4 or 5 years prior to that. So the person who he was mentioning was not living very far off. He was somewhere in the vicinity. So one day he happened to come for Jummah there by mistake. He came by mistake. By mistake meaning he didn't want to come there. But he probably was meaning to go to some other masjid. But somehow when he got there, it was all, the parking was full, he was getting late. And for whatever reason, then he decided to, or he took some other turn and he ended up on Mallinson Road. So Allah Ta'ala willed it. He found some space to park. So he parked there. But now it was easy for him to walk in, so he walked in. And now probably with the intention that just out of desperation now he's coming in. But next time he'll never come back. Perhaps Allah knows best whether that was in his mind or not. I'm just guessing. He says when he came and he sat there, and then later on, then he carried on coming. But he didn't mention anything to anybody. But much later, once he came and he explained this whole story to Mara. That I came for the first time when I came was purely by accident, we can call it, by mistake, by chance, or without wanting to be here, I was here. But then that was the first time that I came and I never stopped coming. Because that had such an impact on my heart, I just realized that this is what I was looking for. This changed my heart and made me realize that this is where the truth is coming. But now this is where the point comes, that there was something, wasn't just words. It wasn't just expressing some facts and figures. It was the heart speaking. So the heart spoke to the heart. So now this heart speaking, this is what we see in the lives of our Akabir. This is what we see in their lives, that this is that very great effort that they made. So in any case, in terms of this, some of the things that, there's a very broad discussion, but just some points on a more specific note in terms of some amal, etc. One is obviously around istighfar, prior to that discussion, prior to that talk. And with this concern, that the ill effects of our heart must not contaminate somebody else. Our nuhusat must not affect anybody else. Then together with that, dua, lot of dua, begging Allah Ta'ala's forgiveness, begging His help, to say the right things in the right manner, with the right intention. This is the malfooz actually of Hazrat Allama Shabbir Ahmad Usmani Rahmatullah Alayhi, where he used to say, sahi baat, sahi tariqe se, sahi jazbe ke saath. Be asar nahi jati. What is being said must be correct. Sahi baat. Sahi tariqe se. It must be said in the right manner also. You're saying sometimes the right thing, but saying it in the wrong way is going to sometimes lose the entire effect. It might sometimes become counterproductive. Instead of bringing somebody closer, it might chase him away. So what is being said must be right, obviously. But it must be said in the right manner also. And sahi jazbe ke saath is nothing but that niyat, with the right intention. He said, be asar nahi jati. It doesn't go without its effect. Sooner or later, it'll bring its effect. Sometimes at that moment, it might seem like nothing happened. But that has actually planted a seed. Maybe somebody else will water that seed. And maybe somebody else will water it further someday. And somebody else will shine the sun on it. And then eventually it'll come out of the ground. That sprout will come through. But that which was said with ikhlas, in the right manner, the right things were said, it has planted a seed somewhere. Inshallah, the person puts himself again in the right environment, he'll get watered. So, that is that very important aspect about dua, that besides istighfar, dua, then among the a'mal, Hazrat Madni Rahmatullah Alayhi, it is mentioned about him that among his ma'amuls, before any bayan, would recite Durood Sharif 7 times. La ilaha illa anta subhanaka inni kuntu minal zalimin. Rather, subhanaka la ilma lana illa ma allamtana innaka antal alimul hakeem. 7 times. And then Durood Sharif again 7 times. So this too is something to make amal upon. Reciting Surah Ikhlas 3 times. And passing on the thawab to our parents, asatizai kiram. And all those who have been a means of deen reaching us. After all, it is their barakat with which we say one word to. So, this is a very small token of appreciation, but in this appreciation is where the barakat is. This barakat is in this appreciation. And when a person will keep expressing this appreciation in this manner, Allah Ta'ala will open the doors of that barakat. On this note of this appreciation and barakat, Hazrat Mufti Farooq Mirti Sahab, Hazrat Mufti Farooq Mirti Sahab, Rahmatullah Alayh, we all quite familiar with the personality. He used to come to South Africa every year while, as long as we knew him. So once while he was here, he was mentioning something that he had once gone to Lucknow to visit his Maulana Alimi Asab Rahmatullah Ali. He was on a safari himself. So it was very, very tight time. He had landed and just had some work and had a very short time, very short stay there, and had to catch another train to leave or something. So in any case, it was a Jummah morning. And he came to Hazrat Maulana Asab's place. So he met the Khadim and he said, look, I have come, and Maulana knew him well also. I came to just make mulaqat. I don't even have much time and I need to leave urgently. If it's possible, if I could just make mulaqat, salam, dua, and I'll leave. The Khadim said, look, today at this time, I don't think you're going to be able to get a chance to meet him. He is currently engaged in a very important ma'amul that he engages in every Jummah, so he doesn't disrupt that for anybody. He said, very well, doesn't matter. But fine, give me my salam. I don't want to obviously cause any khalal and any disruption in his ma'amulat. So the Khadim said, okay, just wait. I will just mention that you are here. If he says that you should come, well and good. Otherwise, I'll tell you. So he went in and he expressed that so-and-so has come. So I said, okay, just call him in, we'll make salam. So he came, just very briefly, made salam, dua, and he left. But he says, as he was leaving now, the Khadim was seeing him off. So as he was going, he asked him that, look, you mentioned something about he's engaged at this time every Jummah in a very special ma'amul. So what ma'amul is engaged in? Because he couldn't see anything in particular. He stopped for him, came and he went away. So when he asked the question, so he said to him that it's about an hour and a half, 2 hours. All his asatiza, his mashayikh, starting off with his parents, etc. And all those who had been directly involved in his ta'lim, in his tarbiyat. On a Jummah, he sits down and he recites Surah Yasin once and makes a sawab to one. Then he reads it again second time. Makes a sawab to the next person. Then the third time. 1.5, 2 hours goes in this manner, reciting Surah Yasin and passing on the sawab to each one of them individually. All these personalities and all these people who had a direct role in his ta'lim and his tarbiyat, he used to make isale sawab of one Surah Yasin for each one of them individually. At least we can try and make it collectively for everyone in one Surah Yasin also, inshallah. But these were the things that all collectively brought that barakat and brought that athar and effect. And then we find that in some simple words and a few statements also, that impact and that effect came, which sometimes we might give a lengthy bayan, but we won't find that effect neither on our hearts or anybody's hearts. So this is what is that batini preparation, and this batini preparation is the very essential thing. To finish off again on that statement of Hazrat Abu Darda radiallahu ta'ala an, where he addressed the Sahaba, أَيُّهَا النَّاسِ عَمَلٌ صَالِحٌ قَبْلَ الْغَزْوِ إِنَّمَا تُقَاتِلُونَ بِأَعْمَالِكُمْ. Your qital is on the basis of your a'mal. This is where the effect of that qital comes. And all the dini khidmat all fall under the same direction and guidance. Qital is the highest level of it. But every effort of deen is also part of that same. It's all i'la'i kalimatullah. So all will fall under the same usools and principles. And just as that qital is bi'amalikum, there's also a kind of qital, not on that level, in a different note. But this is also bi'amalikum. So this is that batini preparation. So the zahiri preparation is also very important. And the aspects that were discussed about the time, etc. And also this batini preparation. As mentioned, this is just a muzakara. What I needed most. May Allah Ta'ala give me also the tawfiq. Bless all with the tawfiq. Allah Ta'ala accept the khidmat of the ulama-i kiram. And make it a means of tremendous khair and benefit for one and all. Wa akhiru da'wana anil hamdulillahi rabbil alamin.
Jazakumullah khair, Hazrat, for those very precious and valuable advices. There's about 2 or 3 minutes left before Azan. If anyone has any question, any comments, as it is here, we can forward our questions, or anyone has any point to make or any input to make in the program, we'll appreciate it. Please come forward. Everybody got their head down, so it looks like, mashallah. Ji, come. Jazakallah.
Assalamu alaikum. Respected ulama, Allah Ta'ala give Hazrat Maulana Jazai Khair and give us tawfiq to practice on those great advices. Just a few advices from our ulama, which I felt, inshallah, would be a benefit to myself and to the respected ulama, is that before we give our bayan, our talk or nasihat, whether it's to a talaba or to our masajid, etc., or even a masjid that we don't normally frequent, very important that we ask Allah Ta'ala to inspire us, to help us, and to accept this talk. Very, very important. As Maulana mentioned, dua, very, very important. Also, a dua that we can recite. Inshallah, we all know this dua. Allahumma alhimni rushdi wa aidni min sharri nafsi. That asking Allah Pak to inspire us, asking Allah Pak to assist us. And also, if we are sitting in a bayan and we are in front of one of the ulama, to make this dua in our heart for that alim. We are sitting and listening to the talk, asking Allah Pak, Allah, make it easy for him to get through to the community. Also, sometimes we forget when we are addressing the awam, we forget to make the salam. We are so engrossed in our, you know, Quran Sharif ayat, and you know, our Hadith Sharif, we worried we don't make a mistake, and you know, how to plan our bayan, time management, etc. We forget to actually make that salam when we begin. Although there may not be a big crowd in majma sitting in front of us, but we forget to make that salam. We just start off respected elders, hufaz, etc., and then we move into the talk. We forget to make that salam so that they also feel welcome and they understand the importance of the salam. Also, whenever we give our bayan, we should make an appoint, whatever topic we have prepared, but some portion should be given to talk about the greatness of Allah Ta'ala. As Maulana mentioned, sometimes we have a person seated there, and that person maybe, he may have earrings, he has a different kind of hairstyle, but alhamdulillah, Allah gave him the tawfiq to sit in that majma. Something about the greatness of Allah Ta'ala when he leaves, perhaps he didn't get the whole bayan, but something he took back home. Also, sometimes basic things we need to tell the awam, basic things, like towards the end of our bayan. Why I say end? Because alhamdulillah, the bulk of the crowd are there at the end of the bayan. Tell them important things like after your first sunnah or before your first sunnah of Jumu'ah, those who haven't performed their fajr salah, perform the two fard. So you left them with something to think about, that we came here to learn iman and we have to perform, or something basic, something that we know, but something that, you know, we need to encourage. Also, for an example, the four fard of wudu, something basic that, you know, the students in maktab are taught, but to teach them that, you know, wash their elbows, make sure, you know, certain points, faraid of wudu, etc., need to be complete. Otherwise, the person is just wasting their time if the farad of wudu are not complete. Also, try and give some sadaqah, asking Allah Ta'ala to make it easy and to accept. And also to, you know, after the bayan, when we return home, then ask Allah Pak, oh Allah, whatever advices, you know, were given, oh Allah, please accept it and accept it.
Jazakallah khair. Respected ulama ikram, we want to take the opportunity once again to thank one and all for coming and gracing this program. And we want to also express our appreciation to Hazrat Maulana Sahab for availing his time and his very precious advices. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq and the ability to make amal, and inshallah be able to enhance ourselves in this very important aspect of dini khidmat. Inshallah, after the salah, immediately the remaining salah, there will be refreshments that will be served upstairs, and we request all ulama ikram to please participate. Once again, jazakumullah khair wa ahsan jazah. Assalamu alaikum.